This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
All right, I just hit record. Say your name and title for me and that you were aware I'm recording for use on air.
Hi, it's Dave McCormick, senator from Pennsylvania, and I'm aware of the recording.
Senator McCormick, after graduating from West Point, you served with the 82nd Airborne as a paratrooper in the first Gulf War. So curious your views on Venezuela. But first, before we get to that, I want to ask you about your first year in office. I know you've sent a letter out to Pennsylvanians. What are the highlights after year one?
Well, thanks, Jim, for having me. You know, I feel like it's been an incredibly rewarding and consequential year. And I just want to start by saying how grateful I am for the opportunity. I really feel privileged to be able to serve in this role representing Pennsylvania. And I try to send out an annual letter, which is a little bit, I guess, uncharacteristic. But what I wanted to do was sort of take stock of how I did relative to the promises I made during the campaign, relative to my kind of big transformation agenda issues that I had talked about, including the big summit that I did on energy and innovation in AI. And I also wanted to, you know, sort of gauge myself in terms of how well I delivered on constituent services and, you know, the questions and inputs I got from Pennsylvanians. And so the letter lays all that out. And I'd say we made a lot of progress on the promises. There's still some work to be done and things like permitting reform and other things. But the thing that was kind of unique about the letter, I also talked about the things that, you know, didn't go well and the lessons that we learned from that, including everything from, you know, kind of getting the tone wrong and becoming a little too polarized in some cases to, you know, not in the early days responding quickly enough to some of the inputs from the constituents. So it was a sort of a here's where we are relative to what was expected. And it's something I had to do as a CEO for, you know, probably 15 years over the last 30 years. And every year you have to do a shareholder update, or every quarter you have to. And I thought I'd try to bring that same sort of transparency and accountability to my role in the Senate.
And one of your key focuses has been narcotics trafficking, especially the fentanyl crisis. And so sort of switching gears, curious with your military background, what are your thoughts on Venezuela?
You know, I just think you have to step back and say first, I mean, what a remarkable demonstration of kind of military capability. You know, the American military, unlike anything in the world. So it strategically, with the support of the Navy and the Air Force and the military, Delta Force, which is a unit, a special operations unit that's based at Fort Bragg, where I was stationed in the 82nd Airborne Division. This mission was executed flawlessly and is a real compliment to, you know, the military leadership and to President Trump and everybody that was involved in making that happen. So I think that's the first point. It has a lot, it's very similar in many ways to the operation that I saw firsthand. I didn't deploy to Panama, but during my time in 82nd in 1989, the American military under President George Bush, 41, went into Panama for an indicted drug trafficker, Manuel Noriega, and deployed 25,000 troops with an airborne parachute operation. Was pursued Noriega for 10 days and finally brought him back to the United States. This operation, and did not consult the Congress in advance of that. This operation was very similar in that it was to, pursue an illegal dictator, one that was not duly elected in Venezuela. But it took place in a couple hours, and it was in and out and very successful. So the parallels are clear. What was different that time, to be honest with you, is that there was a Democratic majority in the House and the Senate who applauded President Bush's actions, and in this case, there's a lot of criticism from the Democratic Party on what President Trump has done, which I think, frankly, is more politics than substance. Because if you look at all the statements that have been made over the last 5 years by President Biden, Chuck Schumer, and everybody else, everybody agreed that that we needed to do more to have a regime change in Venezuela. We now have that, and I guess I'll say a final word. I think the lessons that this operation shows to the Western Hemisphere and really to the world is, number one, the American military is unmatched. Number two, that, President Trump says, we're going to do something, that you should, think there's a real chance we're going to do it. And third, if you act in a way that's inconsistent with America's interests, that threatens American lives, which is what Venezuela was doing with, as you mentioned, the fentanyl, the drug trade, not just fentanyl, but fentanyl, cocaine, elsewhere. Venezuela was a huge transshipment hub. It was a place where Iran and others got support. Cuba got support in oil. It was a major exporter to China and Russia, our adversaries. And I think what this message shows is, listen, if you're going to cut against America's interest and put Americans at risk, and particularly in the Western Hemisphere, I think there's going to be a price to pay. I think that's what the world is digesting right now.
And as you mentioned, there has been criticism, including our governor, Democrat Josh Shapiro, who you've had a working relationship, but also agreed to disagree over the past year. But I want to ask you about what he said with calling this a massive nation building process with no planning other than, in Governor Shapiro's words, stealing Venezuela's oil to enrich his friends. You mentioned political grandstand. Do you feel that's grandstanding, or do you have concerns that we're getting into a potential quagmire with nation building, or do you think there's structure here in place to get Venezuela back on its feet?
Well, I'd say a couple. I don't think that's accurate. As you say, Governor Shapiro and I have found ways to work together on behalf of Pennsylvania, but we've got lots of disagreements, and I think this is one of them. I do think that's political grandstanding in the following sense. The president said in his press conference something about we're going to run Venezuela, which, listen, I think for all of us, when we think about the phase two of this operation, it's likely to be a heck of a lot more challenging than phase one. And I think, we ought to go into that with humility. So I certainly believe that to be true. But when the president says run, here's what I think that really means. I think there's probably four policy objectives that are important to phase two. One is stop supporting the narco-terrorist, stop supporting these drug cartels, stop supporting the poison that's coming into Pennsylvania and killing 4,000 people last year. So that's a number one goal. That has to happen as part of phase two. Second thing that needs to happen is that it needs to stop being a place of sanction and sanctuary for Iran, for China. This is not a place in our backyard where our adversaries should gain comfort. It shouldn't be a support for Cuba. So I think that's the second policy goal. I think the third policy goal, as the president said, is to rebuild the oil industry. Now, just to put that in perspective, the oil industry, there was American companies in Venezuela that were expropriated. The government took over the private property of American companies 15 years ago. And what's happened is the oil industry has fallen off a cliff. And this is key to Venezuela's future. In 1975, they produced 4 million barrels a day. Today, they produce about 600,000 or 700,000 barrels a day. So reconstituting that oil industry is going to be really important for Venezuela. It's important for global energy supply and energy dominance. It'll benefit America for sure, but it'll benefit the Venezuelans a lot more. So I think that's the third goal, and that's going to require a lot of partnership. And then the fourth goal is with the Venezuelans. And the fourth is, you know, a democratic process that gives Venezuela leadership that can lead it into the future. And accomplishing those four things is, I think, the next phase. And how that's going to happen, I think, remains to be seen in the following sense. I think the United States has an enormous amount of leverage. I think it's demonstrated the capability to come in and snatch these indicted folks. And the question will be whether the people there that are in positions of power or potential positions of power are going to come together in support of those four objectives. And I don't think that's going to involve, I hope it doesn't involve American boots on the ground. But it's going to be a challenging process. The possibility and the potential would never have happened had we not gone to phase one, which is to, you know, obviously get an illegal dictator who was, you know, had put in 80% of his population into poverty. That phase one had to happen before we can get to phase two.
And back to Pennsylvania, new calendar year two for you. What do you see as the priorities for the coming year?
Well, you know, the President Trump ran and I ran on, you know, two or three big things. One big thing was securing the border and stopping the flow of fentanyl. We just touched on that. I think we've made a lot of progress on that, but there's more to be done, particularly on the demand side, helping people transition away from addiction and so forth. More work to be done, but huge progress. The second goal was, you know, to unlock energy, and that's key to Pennsylvania's future. This revolution in energy and AI is key. We've made great progress on that with the Energy and Innovation Summit that I think you and I have talked about in the past, but we had huge amounts of investment committed, $92 billion. The president came, the cabinet came, Governor Shapiro, Senator Fetterman. And so there's more to be done there. As I mentioned, there's more to be done at the state level, but there's more to be done in permitting reform at the federal level. And I think that's got to be a big focus. And that's a heavy lift. That's going to be hard to get done, but that's really important. And that'll unlock a lot of capital and streamline. And by the way, I'm in favor of all forms of energy, whether that's solar or wind or whether it's nuclear or natural gas. I just don't want the government subsidizing those energies. But that permitting reform is the second. And then the third thing is continuing on the path of opportunity and affordability for Pennsylvanians. And, you know, we've made huge progress on this. Inflation's come down dramatically. Real wages have gone up. The big, beautiful bill, which is the working families tax cut bill, is going to put a lot more money. People are going to get a lot more money in their pockets in April because of no tax on tips, because of the child care tax credit. But there's more work to be done. We got to get down the cost of health care. We got to focus on energy prices and continue to bring those down. We got to bring down housing prices. So each of those areas is going to require a lot of focus. But in my mind, that's the big agenda. You know, finish the swing on fentanyl and border, but huge progress. Continue the momentum on energy dominance, which is key to Pennsylvania, and make sure that we continue to focus on the key drivers of costs to make it, you know, make the American dream available for everybody.
Senator Dave McCormick, Senator, I really appreciate your time. I could ask you questions all day, but I know you're just listening to what we just talked about. I know you're a busy man, so I will let you get back to your work. And again, I always appreciate you taking some time to talk to us.
Hey, thank you for having me. Have a great day and happy new year.
You too. Thank you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times? You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
You know Graybar for electrical parts, but there's one more thing you may not be thinking of us for that can help maximize your next project's total value. Our pre-project planning services are designed to help you win the bid, save on labor costs, and keep your installers productive across your entire build. The sooner you call us, the better. Because when we're there from the beginning, we can anticipate your needs and help you solve problems before they become problems. Yep. Graybar does that.